This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
LeBron has basically done everything you can do in the NBA, including winning MVP awards and three championships. But according to The Athletic, he has his sights on one more thing: owning a team. LeBron was asked about it recently and said, quote, "Ain't no maybe about it. I'm going to do that bleep." LeBron would become only the second former NBA player to own a team, joining Michael Jordan. Rob, what do you think? Would LeBron be good at running a team in the ownership role?
Yeah. LeBron has done a lot of things, you know, off the court and had a lot of success. I'm not so sure. Sometimes when you're like a great player, I think everybody automatically assumes you're going to be able to master the business that you played in. So I'm not positive, because you could look at Michael Jordan, who was a great player, but was he a great evaluator of talent when he was a GM before he even had ownership and when he was in Washington? So no, I don't think that LeBron is. LeBron right now is the worst GM in the NBA, because if you go back to Cleveland, you look, Greg, come on, Greg, look at Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, some of those bad deals that he worked the Cleveland people into. So I'm not convinced LeBron's going to be this great owner. I think if he maybe gets some help. Because think about this. There's only been four former players who have won a championship as a player and as an executive in a GM role in NBA history. So it's very hard. It doesn't happen that often. So I'm not so sure that LeBron will be able to even be better than Michael in the situation of being an owner and maybe winning a championship.
It's not surprising he said this. I mean, we've known for years that he wants to eventually own an NBA team, and he's even said in the past maybe an NFL team as well. I actually think this is just pure speculation, not from anybody telling me. I think there may be a wink-wink deal between him and Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavaliers, when, you know, they talked and LeBron agreed to go back to Cleveland. And I really think the Cavs are probably the number one team that I'd rank as far as chances of him owning them. As far as whether he'd be good, first of all, I think it'd be great because he's an African-American. We need more racial minorities owning teams. We got Michael Jordan. In the NBA, I know they always get high ranks for diversity and all that, but as you go up in the front offices, it's not as diverse as it should be.
Or the way it used to be. It used to be more diverse. It's worse now.
It's gotten worse with the analytics and people focusing on that and using that as an excuse not to hire ex-players and stuff. So I think that would be great. It shouldn't just take a minority owner to hire more minorities who are qualified. However, having another one, I think, would be great. Look, with LeBron's businesses, LeBron is obviously a smart guy, but he doesn't know about all these different businesses he has going on, but he hires the right people to run them, and they're doing well. So I think you can say he would do that, but obviously he's a basketball guy, so he may want to be a meddling owner. And I do tend to agree, Rob. I mean, as we know, he knows the game. We know he's one of the smartest players we've seen. But I don't think he's been the best at trying to put together teams. I mean, he did have a say in, let's go get some defenders and some grinders and some playmakers. And, you know, we can't outshoot Golden State, so let's not really worry about that. You know, so
and then
that,
what did people
right,
say right
they
away?
Had to go get shooters.
No three-point shooters. Right. And right, that was the first thing people said.
But look, there's nothing wrong with being a meddling owner. That's the benefit of being an owner. Mark Cuban's a meddling owner. Jerry Jones, a meddling owner. So if at worst, if he's one of those guys that's really into it and he's the face of the franchise, there's no problem with that.
I definitely think he would be successful. I think it's great. I love that he came out and said, absolutely. There's no question. It's not even a question. And I don't think anyone doubted that this was even something that was on his radar with everything else that he's doing. But we talk about him configuring teams. The teams that he configured, it's because he's on the team. Like, this wouldn't be him being on the team, so the personnel would look different. You talk about the Tristan Thompson deals and all that.
J.R. Smith. Bad deals.
Did he go to the table and say, this is what
he wanted,
we should
those
pay
guys
them?
Signed. This, Chris, you know
he
this.
He wanted them signed. Did he make their numbers up in the year contract? Did he draw up their contracts?
You're trying to say that I'm he asking, had nothing to say?
Did he? No, he didn't.
Tristan, I don't think he went to ownership and was like, no, look, they understood that they had the same agent as LeBron.
Thank you.
But I don't think he set out a number.
I'm not saying
like
with
that.
The numbers, Greg, but some of Chris just talked pressure. About it. Look at some of the teams when they made the trades last year. Oh, LeBron's restocked and energized. He got all the players he wanted. When they brought in Dwayne Wade to come in last year from Miami.
He wants Melo now.
He wanted, right, okay. He wants Melo.
Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade.
This is what we're talking about.
I understand all
that.
He's
a bad move.
This would be him being removed from playing and then making personnel decisions, or meddling, as you put it. I think he would be good at that. And stop, we immediately, the first thing you did was what? Compare him to Michael Jordan.
Well, only because.
That's the first thing you did.
Because, Greg, great players oftentimes like trying to be coaches. They don't seem to, that they can be a great coach after being a great player. Very few. I'm not saying it's never happened, but very few great players make great coaches. And the same thing. You can look at Michael Jordan and say, wait a minute, didn't you draft Kwame Brown and some of the draft choices? This is Michael Jordan. Who's the other shooter? Adam Morrison. He drafted Adam Morrison. Oh, he's going to be the next Larry Bird. These are the goofs. That and bad picks that Michael Jordan is one of the greatest players. So just because you're great doesn't mean I can identify somebody who's great.
I understand all of
That's all I'm saying.
I understand all of that, but those were Michael Jordan decisions. Those were
I'm saying from looking at what LeBron has done to this point, I'm saying
what you mean? You mean the three titles that he's been able to win?
No, the six that he's lost.
Well, hold
How's
on.
That?
He's been there nine times.
I will say this, and I pointed out some of his bad decisions. He had a hand in putting together that Miami team too, that won two championships.
That lost.
He did sit down and put, and then he went out and got these veteran shooters around him. So they won two championships.
Should they have won? He said they were going to win eight, not two, not three,
but two
not
isn't
four,
bad.
Not five, not six. Do you remember that tape?
I do.
Do you remember that moment?
I do.
And they won two out of four, and they were one lucky. Ray Allen three away from being 1-3 in that year.
That's all that matters.
That's the problem. Like, because he is LeBron James, and because he
comes
is,
with the territory.
It comes with the territory, and our expectation immediately goes completely up. If this were some random player that was on the bench that didn't get a lot of time and he was able to move up the ranks,
Greg,
and own the team, we wouldn't even be putting this pressure
on
him.
You're being disingenuous from this point. LeBron didn't take that mic and go not two, not three, not four because he didn't believe it. He believed when he put together that super team that nobody would be able to beat them.
I agree with that.
There's no doubt about it. So when you do that and you raise the expectations, three guys, all young, all in their primes, all coming together to form a team. There's no way that people didn't think that they were going to win every year.
Owning a team,
that's all.
Owning a team, he's not that dumb to believe that, oh, if I own a team, we're not going to ever lose.
I didn't say
I'm going to put together a roster that we're going to be in the finals every year. We're going to be competitive every single year. He's going to have growing pains like everyone else until he gets it right and put pieces in place that can make those decisions to where the personnel is what's needed and effective.
He would be better than many of the owners in the NBA and NFL right away because there's a lot of bad owners out there. The interesting thing would be, to me, does his mentality, how does it change, if at all? Because right now, he's very pro-player. He's vice president of the Players Association. He's all about player movement and players having just as much power in their destiny as, you know, the owners and the GMs and all that and getting as much money as you can. When you become an owner, this is capitalism. It's a whole different
shifts.
Thing. Would your mentality shift more? Because now you see the other side of it as an owner. So if he had a player like himself, who wants to get involved and do all these things, would he be with that? And that would be really interesting.
Here's the other bad part. He can't get anybody to come play with him now, so imagine once he owns a team, he won't be able to get anybody to come play for his team.
Rob, you crossed
we
the line.
We can call
Crickets.
Him Rob.
Crickets. Crossed the line. If I'm LeBron, I'm going to retire, go buy a vineyard, put in a basketball
you
court.
You wouldn't want to own a team?
It's like stress. It's more work. He's made enough money.
He'll be a young man,
but he's got a beautiful family. Like, I'm living out my days on the vineyard, sipping some wine. I'll put up some shots when I feel like it. That's
but
what I'm
here's
doing.
The thing, though. You can be that type of owner.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, actually, that might be better.
I don't see him being that
team,
type of owner, though.
Hire the right people and go chill.
He's not going to be that type of owner.
And watch the rings accumulate. Do that, LeBron. No
mercy. February isn't just about one super-sized football game. On Spotify, there's thousands of free sports podcasts that agonize over the preseasons, off-seasons, and plain old regular seasons of nearly every sport imaginable. Basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, curling, and even hurling. Yeah, that's a real sport. Look it up. Now it's so easy to stay updated with the latest trade rumors, predictions, and scorching hot takes from some of your favorite game's biggest names. So take it one episode at a time and give 110% of your attention to the thousands of free sports podcasts on Spotify. Because the best offense is a good podcast. No
mercy. The Thunder lost last night to the Pelicans, but that doesn't take away that they're still red hot heading into the All-Star break. Russell Westbrook had his 11th straight game with a triple-double, and most believe he's not even the MVP of his own team, as Paul George has been on an even bigger tear. OKC has won 11 out of their last 13 games, and they're the third seed in the West, four games behind the Warriors. So we are joined now in the studio by Jason McIntyre.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, put you back.
Good to be back.
What's up, Jason?
It's good to have you here. Who do you think that the Warriors should fear in the Western Conference?
I think the Thunder are the popular answer, right? Everybody remembers what they last saw. Chris Broussard's now loving Paul George for the MVP. Russell Westbrook triple doubles. It's got to be the Thunder. No, Jamie. I'm going to go with a team currently not in the playoffs, but with a superstar who's been there a couple times. His name is LeBron James. And I believe right now the Lakers are the biggest threat to the Warriors. It's easy to say nobody's touching the Warriors. But the Lakers, Jamie, I keep coming back to this, okay? Christmas night, fully healthy. Rondo, Lonzo, LeBron. And they smoked the Warriors by, I believe, 26 points.
Speaking of smoking.
Yeah. I think they did. No smoking this morning.
One regular season game.
Who knows the Golden State Warriors best in the West? There's one guy, LeBron James. He's faced them in the finals multiple times.
How many times he beat them?
He took down the 73-win Warriors, Rob. You may recall that.
You mean Kyrie
and
did?
If this team is healthy, Jamie, come the playoffs, and Lonzo's back. Remember, Reggie Bullock is now starting for them. He's living out of a suitcase. He just got traded to the Lakers. I believe with 25 games leading into the playoffs, I think the Lakers will be healthy and ready to be the only team that could possibly take down the Warriors. It's a long shot, but I think the Warriors should fear the Lakers.
This is not
they
based
should
on
fear
of anybody in the West. It's got to be the Lakers and LeBron James.
This is your fantasy, or this is where you become the fan that you are, and something that you wish you would see, but it's not based on anything. It can't be based on a Christmas Day game. Granted, they played well and they won that game, but we're talking about 4 out of 7. And we're talking about LeBron James with better players in the last two finals have only won one game against the Warriors, and now they have Boogie Cousins when you add into that. So this whole notion, I like OKC better. Granted, I expect the Golden State to win again because they have all the ammo. But I would look at Paul George is having his greatest season. I mean, he decided to stay. It's worked out. Everybody said that Russell Westbrook ran Kevin Durant off. But he's also adapted to make George Paul George feel better and fit in better. So I like them. I also like the way that they played. They're 17-13 on the road. All the boxes against teams over 500, they're 15-10. They're 21-15 against the West. When I look at the opponents, they're not just munching on bad teams and piling up wins. They're beating the good teams. And then when you look in the West, too, I just don't believe in Houston because of what Harden has to do and Chris Paul, where he is and the injuries. I don't think they're going to be able to be that team they were a year ago. And Denver, for all the good that they've done this year, I just there's not enough body of work for me to believe that they're going to make that run at them. So I would go for OKC for those reasons.
For me, I got the Rockets.
Rockets?
Yeah, I do. You laugh?
Yeah.
What were the Rockets up on the Warriors last year in the playoffs?
They were up 3-2, and in Game 7, they were leading by 10 at halftime at home, and then they choked.
They have experience with the Warriors. They are 7-5 against the Warriors in the last 2 years, including the playoffs. And we have to keep in mind, Chris Paul got injured in those playoffs. Now, they have a different team, no Ariza anymore, and that impacts them. But they have acquired Iman Shumpert, who fits well with what they're trying to get done. P.J. Tucker, guys who can shoot. Eric Gordon. You got to have firepower when you're going up against the Warriors. You have to be able to go blow for blow. And when I look at their roster and how it's configured, they can go blow for blow. We all know what James Harden is capable of doing. We all know Chris Paul. These guys are guys who haven't won, who still have that hunger and that desire, that burning itch to win. And they understand, they believe that we can beat this team because we were close to doing it last year. We didn't get it done, but we can get this team because we can go blow for blow. You talk about good wins. The Rockets beat the Warriors this year without Clint Capella, without Chris Paul, and the Lakers. They had one great win. Against the Warriors. It's a four-game winning series. Like, you have to win four times. Can the Lakers do that four times? I don't think they can.
I don't think anybody can, but I think the Lakers much better suited than the Rockets. Broussard, it's your turn. Come on. I haven't heard anything to take me off. I haven't heard one thing
up here just
credible
running.
To say
running.
Rockets.
Wait a minute.
Oh. Come on. Rockets? Are you serious? James Harden, are you waiting for him to choke again in the playoffs?
No, I'm not waiting for him to choke.
I mean, he's going to be so spent.
I'm not waiting for him to choke.
The guy dribbles 600 times a game.
He has so much more.
He
has more help. He has more help. None of these guys, in my opinion, fear the Warriors because they feel like I match up great against these
Kenneth
guys.
Kenneth Faried, you're right. He's
I do. And so when I look at this and how you have to be able to match up with the Warriors, you got to be able to go blow for blow. The Rockets, have they tailed off on the defensive side? Yes, they have. But can they clamp down? Clint Capella gets back. I believe they can.
So we got Thunder, we got
Houston,
Rockets.
Houston makes some good points. I mean, like you said, they had them beat last year. Those guys are hungry. The problems I have with Houston are the defensive end. Last year, they were the sixth best defense in the league. This year, they're really low. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul, I just can't count on him being healthy. He may not even be healthy at the start of the playoffs. And to be honest, since he's gotten back, they've fallen off a little bit. I think part of that's because they have a challenge now in that, are we going to keep playing this completely James Harden-centric offense or start working CP3 in? And I think there's
a struggle. And that's hard, especially since they were so successful at winning doing that.
Right.
So why would you go away from that?
Well, now they're losing. So right. You know, we'll see. But then Harden might be fatigued.
Yeah.
And not to mention the struggles he's had in the playoffs.
2 years
when I look
in a row,
at Oklahoma City, I like what they have, but I look at them too, and I look at their two stars. And both of them have had major struggles at the clutch moments. I mean, last year, Game 6 against Utah, deciding game, Paul George goes 2-for-16. I know he's playing much better this year, but still, 5 points in
Russell
a deciding playoff game?
43 shots in that game.
Well, not only that, in the last two games, 5 and 6, he took a total of 82. And then
you go back
to 2016. In the last three games that they lost to Golden State, Westbrook shot 37%. So both Paul and Russell have got to prove it. The only one, and I'm not saying, oh, the Lakers have a great shot. I'm just saying the only one that knows he can beat or has beaten Golden State is LeBron James. Now, if they get the eighth seed, which is most likely, they're going to go out in 4 quick games.
Right.
5 would probably be a miracle, but that'd be the max. But just because if they get to the playoffs, they're probably playing fairly well. They want to switch everything, and if they're healthy, they've got personnel that can do that if they're healthy. And, you know, they got some tough physical guys that can try to get defensive with the Warriors and stuff like that. I'm not saying they would have a chance to beat them. I'm just saying, look, none of these teams do I like against the Warriors. But the fact that LeBron is a proven playoff player and OKC, Houston, their stars,
so
I certainly
like the
don't
Lakers
believe in them.
Yeah.
As far as if I had to, a gun to my head, if I had to pick one team to beat that would beat Golden State,
can I go back to something
you said?
But
what you're saying is it would be the Lakers and Warriors in the first round. The Lakers would get swept?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think they're gonna. How is that like?
Okay, so Houston takes them six. I mean, nobody can be. Yeah. If you're asking me what team I like better against the Warriors, I'm going to say the Lakers.
Let me go to the Thunder real quick.
This is what I don't understand, though. You're saying you like the Lakers better, but if they face them in the first round, they'll get swept.
But nobody. I'm not saying they could beat them. Nobody can be.
But
the answer is themselves.
But you're not even.
It doesn't make sense, Chris, if you don't think they'll even get
win
a game.
Do you think Houston will beat them? Was that the question? Who can go deep?
No, it's fear.
It's who.
I'm not putting fear in it because Golden State shouldn't fear anybody.
Why would they fear LeBron? They beat LeBron.
Why would they
LeBron
fear Houston
beat them?
OKC?
I'm saying.
Because they have the fire. I'm not saying OKC, but Houston has the firepower to take.
They don't look like it right now.
You've seen Harden melt down, Greg.
The Lakers don't look like it right now.
That's the thing. They're not healthy.
But you're saying right now, but the Lakers.
Well, we're projecting to the playoffs. Let me say something about Westbrook.
One man show.
Yeah, that's it.
A one man show. Well, last year, at least, they were a two man show.
So, on his Westbrook point, you guys need to remember the Westbrook Durant parting was ugly. Every time they play, Westbrook's pointing and chirping at Durant. It's not totally personal, but in a playoff series, Westbrook's going to try to get his, and that's where it recalls 80 shots in the last game.
Why would he go away
because
from the success
makes
that they've
it
had
personal.
With Paul George?
I don't buy that girl who got dumped by her boyfriend and is still scorned and angry. He's mad at Kevin Durant
How much experience does Kuzma have in the playoffs?
None. Never been to the playoffs.
How much experience does Lonzo Ball have in the playoffs?
LeBron has more than their entire team combined.
But they'll be ready to go.
He's playoff Rondo. He's at his best in the playoffs. Lance has got some.
Lance will make you dance.
I know, but I'm saying Rondo's going to be playing a lot.
I understand
JaVale
all
McGee
that.
Won a title or two with the Warriors.
You saw the difference he made with New Orleans last year.
Of course.
Rondo will be
That was with Anthony Davis.
Rob Parker should know. He doubted the New England Patriots. Throughout the postseason, and the Patriots made you look bad. Don't do it again.
Don't make me look bad.
What do you mean? Stop. Don't fall for the same trap with LeBron and the Lakers. Don't count them out. Okay, Rob, don't do it. You counted out the Patriots. You got your pants pulled down.
They're not
don't
even
let it
on the same.
Again,
and it was
they're
an
not
ugly
even,
sight.
They're not.
Jason just comes in. Causing trouble. No mercy. Back to the NBA. Paul George scored 28 points in last night's loss to the Pelicans, but he is still having a career year. George is second in the league with nearly 29 points a game, and odds makers have him trailing only James Harden and the Greek Freak in the MVP race. Russell Westbrook endorsed his teammate, saying this week, quote, "He's definitely the front runner for my MVP." All right. Are you buying Paul George as the MVP, Greg?
I am. I love everything that Paul George has done. Even from the standpoint of him deciding to go back to OKC, it started for me right then and there. That let me know he was going to have to shift his way of thinking and his positioning on that team. And Russell Westbrook has complied. He has fallen back. It took him a little bit to do it, but he's fallen back and taken the back seat to Paul George, specifically on the offensive end. And Paul George has thrived. He's thrived not only because Russell Westbrook has allowed him to, but he's more aggressive. He's back to that Paul George that we were all talking about when he was with the Pacers and he was up and coming. And he was challenging LeBron James as being arguably one of the better guys in the East to dethrone him. I like what Paul George has done. And from a wins and loss standpoint, they won 48 games last year. They finished fourth in the Western Conference. This year, they're already third in the Western Conference. They already won 37 games. I think they can get up to 50 wins this year. If they can get to that first place spot in the West.
No chance.
If they can get to that first place, it'll be hard not to say Paul George is the MVP of the NBA.
Look, I'll give you that. If OKC overtakes Golden State, then he may very well win it. Look, if the Lakers get the number one seed, I think LeBron can win.
Now, that's another bet. Which if is bigger? That one is colossal if.
What you said about Paul George is right. He is tremendous. He's better than he was in Indiana, as good as he was. Remember, he was battling LeBron James in those playoff series when LeBron was in Miami. So he was great then, but he is taking it up another level. I have him third right now. And historically, I am an official voter. Historically,
you gotta
when
you throw
look
that
at
out
it,
on us.
But just yeah. letting, because this, you know, my vote counts. I'm just saying. Okay. I ain't just spouting an opinion now.
Wow.
No, but it typically, when you don't have another star or superstar with you, that helps you. And what could hurt Paul George compared to Giannis or James Harden is that Chris Paul's definitely a star, but he's been out so much that Harden is essentially viewed as doing it by himself. Giannis doing it by himself, even though Chris Middleton made the All-Star team, in part because their record's so good. He's a really good player, but he's not viewed as a perennial All-Star or anything like that.
He was a second-round pick, right?
Right, right. So that will help, because look at historically, LeBron benefited from that when he was in Cleveland early on by himself. Derrick Rose benefited from that when he won the MVP. A lot of guys have. Westbrook when he won the triple-double. Another thing with so Paul George, I got him third. James Harden, who up until maybe a week or two ago, I had as number one, they have come back to earth. He during that early in his 30-point game streak, which is now up to 31, which is incredible, they were winning at a high clip. At one point, I think maybe 16-5, 15-6, something like that. They've now won 11 of their last 20. So they're 11-9 now. They're the fifth seed in the West. They're on a 47-win pace. Since 1982, only one player has won the MVP award without winning 50 games. And that was Russell Westbrook, who averaged a triple-double. And that's the only reason he got it was because he did something historic. Now, Harden is doing something historic, but it's not like he's breaking Wilt Chamberlain's record.
Right.
So I don't think that he's going to get that nod unless they go on another winning streak. That's what they have to do. So right now, don't hold me to this because there's a lot of basketball left to be played. But right now, I would say Giannis, who I had earlier in the year, he's averaging 27-13 boards, 6 assists. They got the best record in the league, best road record in the league. He's a top defender. He's 15th in the league in defensive real plus minus, which gives him a huge boost over Harden, who's not a good defender. So right now, I would go with Giannis in Milwaukee.
Not all good points, both guys. And I love Paul George a lot and what he's doing. And just imagine if Magic and them would have focused in and gotten Paul George to come to Los Angeles, what he would be doing and where they would be. Ultimately, I always say, Chris, that's going to be the reason that LeBron didn't win a championship in Los Angeles.
That's a great point.
Because had he come, they would also have been able to keep their young core and not have to trade.
That's what they were counting on.
And that's what they were counting on. But
that's much better than your Tom Brady take.
No, but
that's a good take. No, that's a real good take.
Really. When you look back at it. But I'm going to go with Harden only from this standpoint. Their season was on the brink. And I know that they've cooled off a little bit, but their season was on the brink. And they were like, people were looking going, they're not going to make the playoffs. This is how bad the Rockets were. They were so bad. And the injuries and Chris Paul and Capella. And they went on that 21-9 during that 30-game streak. And I know, what is it, 31 now? But they went on a streak. Yes. Does he need another streak to finish off and finish up strong? And if he can do that and they position himself in the top four, then I would look at it and go, this guy basically did it. And now Chris Paul maybe gets healthier and can add more. Capella is healthier and adds more. And now they're revving as they get closer to the end of the season and ready to make that move. But without Harden and without what he was able to do, they wouldn't even be in position to even do that. That's how strong he was when he was a one-man band and every team every night knew they only have Harden and he still beat people. That's when
he
I looked at
beat Golden
it.
State.
You know what I mean? Right. You remember that comeback in that game?
Game winner.
That was unbelievable. That night, they looked like they were going to get buried And they came back, and James Harden was that
guy.
Yeah,
but to Chris's point, what he's saying about James Harden, their record is starting to slide.
No, I'm saying he has to have a strong finish, and if they're able to have that and he's a big part of that, he could get back in there.
He's going to be the main part of that.
Right now, it sounds like you don't have him, though.
No, he's slipping a little bit, but
Right now, I still got James Harden.
Okay. Right now. He is slipping. I'm not going to act like
he's not. Not because his play, but just
the
wins.
The team, they're not winning.
Remember when Chris Bosh was here this week and he was saying he was...
He said Giannis.
There's the tiebreaker.
I think he just wanted to change the subject.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It was too hot here.
To talk about the heat was getting hot. No
mercy. Hey guys, Jenny Taft here with a quick word about Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Undisputed a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. Now, back to the show. No
mercy. Back to the NFL. Fox Sports insider Jake Glazer predicted this week that Odell Beckham Jr. would get traded this offseason, but according to SNY, that would be a mistake. Ralph Fasciano says the Giants would be much worse if they trade Beckham, calling OBJ not only a top 5 receiver in the game, but maybe top 5 player, period, in the NFL. The Giants went 1-3 in the final games of the season when Beckham was out with an injury. So we're joined again here in the studio by Jason McIntyre. You don't say anything crazy about my
Please.
Giants.
Oh, I'm gonna
start, I'm almost close to calling you Jason Wackatire.
Jason Wackatire.
I've got nice things to say about wide receivers right now. So.
Do you think the Giants should move on from Odell?
I do, Jamie. I'm sorry. I know you're a big Giants fan. You know, it's funny. Before the playoffs, everybody looked and said, you know, the 5 highest paid quarterbacks, none of them made the postseason. And nobody looked at the wide receivers. Of the top 5 wide receivers, highest paid guys, one of them made the playoffs. Okay? I know Greg Jennings. Well, I'm about to tell you. Greg Jennings, a great wide receiver. We were watching his Super Bowl highlights together one time in the dressing room. Guy's a superstar. I love wide receivers. They're important. Julian Edelman. 53rd highest paid wide receiver in the league. Situation. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl.
He is not even. He can't carry Odell Beckham's sneakers to practice.
He doesn't need to because Odell Beckham is too expensive. And there's a reason that nobody in the Giants organization, Jamie, has come out and said, not true, we're keeping Odell. Because they're looking to ship him out of town. This is a guy, phenomenal player. His teammates love him. They do not need to spend 11% of their salary cap on Odell Beckham. It's just not attainable. And Greg, I believe that the 49ers will be in play, several teams. You do not need to pay Odell Beckham. They can build around Saquon Barkley, which is what the GM, Dave Gettleman, does. He did it in Carolina when he shipped Steve Smith out of town. 2 years later, behind a ground game, they were in the Super Bowl.
Did they win it?
They did not. They lost the Super Bowl to the Broncos. I think they should trade Odell Beckham.
If you're saying solely because he makes so much money, That's a different situation. He's earned that money. So, I mean, and they decided to pay him that. He earns that. That's what he gets. But they are not better without Odell Beckham. They need Odell Beckham on the field. Specifically offensively, let's just keep it on one side of the ball. And I'm going to use one of Chris's. I'm going to give you some facts. With Odell Beckham on the field, they're 21-26. Still not a great team. Without him, they're 6-15. They're a terrible team. When you look at Eli Manning and his numbers and his with Odell and without Odell, like let's look at this. Before OBJ, 58% completion percentage. With OBJ, he's 67%. without him in passing, only averaged about 230 yards. With him, he's 30 yards better, 260. With touchdowns, it's ridiculous. 241, 179 touchdown interception ratio without Odell, that's without Odell. With Odell, 132 to 69. Like, these numbers don't lie. Odell Beckham makes Eli Manning and that offense a lot better. There is no way around it. I don't care what argument you pose, just because his numbers have allowed him to earn the money that he's making, you want to say, oh, they pay him too much money, ship him out? That's a whole nother conversation. If you're saying, you know, because they're spending too much money and he's taking up too much of the cap, then you should look to move him. But to say that they don't need him, they're better without him, that is absolutely false.
So just to recap, they're under 500 with him and without him.
Because it's still a team game.
Right.
A team game.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he changes the game and he can do everything, because you still need an offensive line. You still need a defense to stop somebody.
You don't have either of those.
You still need a quarterback that can get you. I'm sorry, Jamie. You still need a quarterback that can get him the ball so that he can be
effective.
So they
need a lot of stuff. So get him out and get guys in there instead of paying him $20 million.
Greg's right on the money. Just stop it. Look, like you said, if they want to trade him for financial reasons, that's one thing.
Right.
But they signed him.
Right.
They knew everything you said they knew when they signed him to that big deal. And Dave Gettleman has come out time and time again and said, we didn't sign him to trade him.
Yes.
All right? You knew the situation. He's the only thing keeping Eli Manning on serviceable. And you gave the numbers, which was great. We saw the difference that a great receiver can make in Dallas. Without Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott looked horrible. With Amari Cooper, they look great. What the Giants need to be focused on is getting another quarterback. And if Eli starts this year, fine. But you got to get the guy for 2 years from now at least, if not this year. And that guy, whether it's Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, or somebody else, he will be much better if he's got OBJ there. And to have a running back like Saquon Barkley, if you get a really good quarterback in there, now you've got something on the offensive side of the ball. Don't blame their poor record on OBJ, because no receiver, no matter how good, can totally turn a team around.
The Cowboys example is perfect, because you said they have an offensive line and they have a defense. Defense was top 10. The Giants have neither of those, Chris.
Well,
they
trading OBJ isn't the only
thing. He frees up cap room to go after a
center. So now
you're going to need some receivers.
So basically what you're saying is
a possession receiver.
That's
basically what you're saying is, if you're a great player, you just don't take a lot of money.
Right. No, I'm not saying
Eli Manning's making too much, you think
Amari Cooper's going to say?
He's not taking up 11% of the Cowboys cap, Greg.
Not yet.
But we'll see what happens. How was that OBJ's thing?
They knew when they sat down and made the contract what it was to be able to hold on to a player of his caliber. Greg is right. He's earned that money. They didn't give it to him because they liked him. They gave it to him because they looked at everything. And the other thing
is that his fault?
He keeps getting hurt.
That's really
his fault.
But he is a great player.
No doubt about it.
And you need to stop this whole money thing that you always want to attach to people. So when things go bad, you look and go, well, because he makes too much money. And if they do well, nobody ever brings up the money.
Right.
It's a knee-jerk reaction just because things. You're not looking at the entire Giants roster and saying, Eli's bad. The defense is bad. Yes. There's other things.
But it's not OBJ.
That's not the reason they're bad.
He is taking up 11% of their salary cap. He's making $20 million.
So they couldn't pay the receivers the most. They couldn't do this.
Odell just started making this money.
Yes.
They couldn't make moves before then?
Well, if you remember last year, Adam Schefter had a report. Odell Beckham will be traded before the draft. They toyed with this idea last year. Then they didn't trade him. Now, here we are again, Jay Glazer with the rumors, time to trade Odell. I'm telling you, look at Gettleman, the GM, look at his history, okay? He goes to Carolina after 1 year, ships Steve Smith out of town, the great receiver, okay? Steve Smith was angry. 2 years later, with a ground game, they were second in the league in rushing, They go to the
and
Super
then
Bowl.
The next year, what were they?
Well, they were 10th in the league.
Yeah, whatever. Right. I mean, come on, that was 1 year. They've been like a roller coaster. Well,
up and down.
And it's a different NFL, too. Even since then, you know it's a little bit different now.
It is, but he's 67 years old. Gettleman's old school. He turned 68 later this month. He is old school. He's defense and running. That's what he wants to do, okay? Well, I'm just telling you, that's the Giants' game plan.
Are the Giants better without Odell Beckham?
I got to see what they do with the money.
Are the Giants better without Odell Beckham?
I think they can be, yes.
Are the Giants better without Odell?
I would rather build around Saquon Barkley than Odell Beckham.
You gave 3-9 answers, so that's a no.
That's until Saquon Barkley outplays this contract, and then he's taking up 11
years. How about the money Eli? How about the money Eli's taking up? And then if you had drafted a young quarterback last year, your quarterback wouldn't be taking up all that
I would have done that. I agree with you. I don't think Eli Manning
But let's put it on OBJ.
I'm not putting it on him. I'm just saying
yes,
that you don't pay this guy $20 million when you don't have a defense and an offensive line.
Why is that his fault?
Let's think about where Odell might fit in, because there's been some rumors out there already of different teams. What do you think? Where would be a good fit for him?
You've got to look at the Cleveland Browns, okay? They've got a quarterback on the rookie deal. His best buddy, Jarvis Landry from LSU, is on Cleveland. This is a team that has, I think, the third most salary cap room after the Colts and Jets. They can afford Odell. You got Odell, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield. That's an offense all under 28 years old.
What are they going to give the Giants?
Draft picks. They got a ton of them. Draft picks, give them an offensive lineman. Maybe the Giants bite. Cleveland's 33-1 to win the Super Bowl now. Just saying, if they can get Odell Beckham, that team could do some damage.
I almost. He would fit in. Is that why you wore the burnt orange?
I'm trying to envision Odell in a
I mean, honestly, Jane, I think the answer to your question, he would fit in anywhere they need a receiver.
Absolutely. Yeah.
San Francisco. Like, the dude is fantastic. Now, I get the colorful personality and all that. But like you said yesterday, he didn't have that many off the court field issues this season.
No, and it's about his talent. I just think people get caught up on money. And so every time something goes wrong, they just go straight to that. Oh, he's the problem because he takes up so much money.
Somebody's going to make some
money. Yes, people are making money. Huh? Nobody was saying what Eli's makes a ton of money. He probably should have been run out of town. But you don't do that. You know why? Because you still need a quarterback.
Hey, the Jets are going to be better than your Giants.
You're, again, smoking. What did you do before you came in here this morning?
One last thing really quick. Yes. You know in football, when these general managers have these players sign this contract, they know that guys can potentially get hurt and not play. Right. So they still offer them the money. Right. Did you know that?
Isn't that unbelievable?
Jason, thanks for stopping by and breaking hearts and just appreciate
Greg.
It.
I hate to do this. Greg Jennings is a great human being.
Whack.
I feel bad coming at
Whack and Tire. Jason Whack and Tire, thanks for coming by. Colin Kaepernick reportedly was offered a chance to play football again. We'll discuss that one next. No mercy. The Athletic reports the Alliance of American Football reached out to Colin Kaepernick to join their new league. But according to the Associated Press, Kaepernick asked for at least $20 million to play. The problem is AAF players only get three-year, $250,000 non-guaranteed contracts. Kaepernick hasn't played in an NFL game since 2016. Rob, begin here. What's your reaction to this?
I don't blame them. I would ask for 20 or 25 million too. They need him more than he needs this minor league upstart football league. And that's what they were trying to cash in on. You know, like to use him because had he signed with that league, first of all, everybody in America would know what that league was and was about. Number two, his first game back would probably have ratings through the roof for CBS and put this thing on the map. So I don't care what they were paying the other guys. And maybe he really never really considered playing there because it's almost a lose-lose. If he goes there and balls out, everybody's going to say, you're playing against has-beens and never-wases. So that doesn't mean anything. And if he doesn't play well, see, we told you he can't play no more. There was nothing there for him, really. It's all about the Alliance. They're the ones who were trying to make a name off of him and use him. It's the same reason why they reached out to Tim Tebow. They know that that guy moves the needle, and fans are going to be like, oh, Tim Tebow, I finally get to see him play football again or whatever. So I'm not surprised he asked for a crazy amount of money. I would have done the same exact thing.
Not because they're run by social justice warriors?
No, that's not that's not the reason.
No, yeah, this was, I have no problem with this and with Kaepernick denying playing in the league because there is no win for him. If he plays well, is he guaranteed that now he's going to get another opportunity in the National Football League? No. And that's ultimately what he would be playing for. It's not just about the money with Colin Kaepernick. He wants to prove that I didn't deserve to be just pushed out of the National Football League, and now you want to downgrade me to playing in this league that nobody knows about. But if I play, everybody will watch just to literally depict any and everything that I do. No, I'm not going to give you that right. I'm not going to put myself in that situation. I could get injured, and then it's like, oh, he was out of shape. He wasn't ready to play. Or everything looks negative if he's – everything will be negative for him. There's no pros. There's no added incentive for him to play in this league unless they were to give him the money that he's requesting because he understands what he's going to provide for that league. Because he – even if he plays well – if he is the best thing that we've seen in a long time, I still don't think he gets a shot at playing in the NFL. He will have a greater case, but he has to go through this process where he feels like, look, I shouldn't have to do this anyway. I was in this league, and if I'm not good enough to play in this league, then let me prove it.
Kaepernick did what you do when you're free. When you're free of what people think about you and people's perception, and then financially you're free to do what you want to do. He wielded his leverage, okay? He's making $30 million from Nike, so guess what? I'm not desperate. I don't need the NFL or certainly not the AAF, and that's what he did. Now, if he was really thinking maybe, like if it was about value, and I don't know, you might be right, maybe he never considered it, or maybe, you know, he would do it for $20 million. If it's about the value I bring to that league, which he would bring a ton, I have no idea what their financial situation is. You told us what the average player makes, about 75 grand, I think, for the average player. But they got a CBS deal, so you know that's a pretty good deal. They're not on, like, some remote cable channel that nobody knows about. I could have seen him maybe asking for $5 or $10 million up front and then a percentage of the jersey sales, a percentage of the bump that you get on television from my presence. I could have seen all that. But I'm fine with him going $20 million. I just have no idea if that's feasible for this league or whatever. What I don't want to hear is, oh, see, this proves he doesn't want to play. He is above the freaking AAF. I'm sorry. It's a minor league. Carmelo Anthony is dying to play basketball, dying to get on a team. But is he going to go to the G League? No, he's above that. Colin Kaepernick's above that, and you were right on the money. He could go there and throw 6 touchdowns a game.
And it wouldn't matter.
You think that's going to be in the NFL? It's not about his talent.
Nope.
He's not in the NFL because people think he can't play. They're signing Nathan Peterman, all these dudes with the Redskins. It has nothing to do with his ability. This is all about the stance he has taken and the feeling on the part of these owners that he started it. Because you got Eric Reed and other players that have knelt, but they feel like he started it. They're trying to punish him, and he's not going along with it. So I'm fine with what he did.
He did the right thing, and not just like people would want, well, go ahead and play and show us or prove it to us. He doesn't have to do that. This guy went to the Super Bowl. We've seen the records. We've seen his play. He deserves a spot in the NFL. Everybody knows that. So this is, and Greg, to your point, it's not going to alter anything.
No.
So that's why you ask for something right. So ridiculous because... if they give it to you, you might consider it or right. Think about it. You know, like, wait a minute. I asked for $20 million. They said, okay. Right. Wait a minute. Maybe I will play a couple of games. You know what I mean? But you wouldn't do it. He's a smart man. And it is about where he belongs, which is the NFL, not some offshoot minor league right, playing right. Against guys we don't even know.
Yeah, so what if they call, I'm not saying he's bluffing, but let's say, okay, we're going to give you $20 million. Should he take that?
Then it's on him. That's a decision he's going to have to
that's
make.
That's a lot of money.
If he's going to do it for the reasons of, you know what, I'll take that money and I'll play and I'll do that, then okay. But if he's doing it because he feels like it's going to advance his opportunity or chances to get in the National Football League, he's smarter than that. He knows that that's not the case. And for me, for fans out there that think that, well, Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be in the National Football League, or he is not one of the top 32. Not even saying he doesn't have to be one of the best, the top 32 quarterbacks in the league. But there's 32 backups.
Right, one of the top
and 32, then there's 32 guys who hold a clipboard who are in the league.
There's 32 backups. And so there's this opportunity that he knows he doesn't even have. Like, he does, and it just got taken away from him. And I'm not saying that what he did, I agree with it all. But what he did, it wasn't deserving of this. Right. It wasn't deserving of this. And for him to now say, you know what, I'll play in this AAF. Like, I'll settle. That's no.
And again, the good thing is he doesn't have to. Because at some point, everybody needs money. But he's got money because of the Nike deal, and obviously he made money before. So that's a great position to be in, so he can make
it. It is amazing, though, that, you know, that league's not dumb. They know.
And you can't blame them for trying.
They know
and
he
Tebow
is.
And too, going
he's,
after
he's a lightning rod, and there's no doubt in my mind, if he played a game on CBS or one of those, you know, and they built it up and everybody knew, the numbers would be through the roof because people would want to peek in to see Colin Kaepernick, what it meant, what the crowd was like. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
People wearing Kaepernick jerseys. So I think they understand that. And still, I'm not always sure that the NFL really has understood, like, what they've done that has spurred people the other way. You know what I mean? By not letting Kaepernick play.
Well, I agree with Kaepernick. I'm on his side. But look, the NFL, there are some people that are against them, the NFL for it, but some people that are for them. So it's just everybody's not against them because of Kaepernick. They do have
No, not everybody. Right. But I'm saying there are people who have stopped watching, and whether or not people want to believe it
and
or
if,
not.
And if he were to entertain this, let's just hypothetical. He entertains this. The rules of this league is different.
Like
they're not protecting the quarterback like they do
you
in the National Football League. And so you have a greater risk of sustaining injury a lot quicker than you do playing in the National Football League, in my opinion.
And he might be a target too. Somebody let me make a name off of Colin Kaepernick.
Nailing
him.
That's
so that's smart too.
Maybe,
Greg, are you gonna try for that league?
Go to AI.
You know what? If they offer me $75 million up front.
is there a price if they offered a certain amount?
No, I'm done with football. No, there is a price.
There's always, right?
There's always a price, right? I don't have that number in my head, but if they came at me
can
with something.
Can you count that high, right?
Yeah. No
mercy. Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning, featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.